The Celtics are back in action. Marcus Smart still got that eye infection. Robert Williams got a hip thing that doesn't sound great. And do I really have to squash another Kyrie thing? Yep. And I'm going to do it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go. Rainy Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play, when the F's done I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Back here on a Tuesday after a day off because the Celtics took a long weekend, I took a little bit of a break. I went on a little bit of a vacation, and then I'm heading to Dallas. Not often that you get an in-season break, but I'm going to take advantage of it, and I did. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for MassLive.com, and let's start this. I'm going to save the Kyrie thing for later. I'm so sick of this, but the reaction, once again, is typical but stupid. And I'm so sick of this kind of reaction, but I'm saving this for the end. Let's start with, I think the most concerning thing out of the practice was Robert Williams, who was diagnosed with an edema in his hip, a bone edema, which is basically a fluid in the bone marrow itself. So somehow, I'm not an expert here, but there was some sort of trauma to that hip area of the bone, and there is a fluid. An edema is the swelling, a fluid being trapped in there. And so that is something that typically, from my research, happens during some sort of arthritis or a fracture of some kind. It's hard to say what caused it with Robert Williams. He is an active NBA player, so any number of things could have happened to that left hip. Now, the good news is that it can resolve itself after a while. They're going to take a few weeks to let it heal, and then hopefully the resolution on its own will be sufficient. And then he will go through whatever rehab he goes through and strengthening, and hopefully he'll be back in a few weeks. We'll see. I don't know how serious this is. I don't know what caused it. They're not saying yet what caused it. Maybe they don't know what caused it. But for now, we know that there's something in his hip, in the bone in his hip, that is swelling. There's a swelling inside that bone. We've heard bursitis in that hip, that left hip of his. I don't know if that was a correct diagnosis and this is something different. There was something there that maybe was separate. I did ask Brad Stevens recently about whether this was a recurrence of the bursitis, and he did say no. So this edema may be a separate thing. So on the plus side, if it is something that does resolve itself, which it does seem that it's possible that it could, then great. He moves on. He's happy. He's healthy. And forget it. It's just a thing that happens. If it's chronic, if it's the arthritis type of thing, then we'll have to see what the resolution is. I don't want to speculate. I'm just kind of like going through some of the causes that are listed amongst the many different websites that explain this kind of stuff. I don't know what it is. It hasn't been a chronic thing, I don't think. Haven't heard much about his left hip before, I don't think. So I'm going to guess, at least make some sort of trying to make an educated assumption that it may not be a chronic thing, even though it obviously it could, but it hasn't been in the past. So maybe somehow there was some sort of fracture, a thing that no one really realized. It could be a simple microscopic stress fracture. It could be something that was there that kind of developed over the course of time. Obviously, when you're a professional basketball player, the jumping, the running, the stopping, and all of that stuff, any number of things could cause some sort of fracture in there. Fracture does lead to the edema, so we'll see. Without getting further clarification, we don't know. But it's going to take a few weeks, and now that puts the Celtics in a little bit of a bind, because if another guy gets hurt, if something happens to Daniel Theis or Enes Kanter, then they're shorthanded. Obviously, the next question is, does this mean the Celtics have to burn 3 weeks of Taco Fall minutes? They may just decide we're going to roll with Poirier as the emergency guy, since they're probably not going to use that emergency guy unless it's an emergency, right? But I think the Celtics' plan is start Theis, Kanter as your backup, and if that's not sufficient, then you may need to go small and you go with Grant Williams or Semi Ojeleye, and that's the plan. That's been the Celtics' plan. I don't think there's any reason to burn Taco Fall minutes and just get all of his NBA eligibility, because he's on the two-way contract and it's a 45-day eligibility. If there's any reason to kind of hold on to this, it's that you never know if there's going to be a recurrence of this down the line. So maybe they use him from time to time, and then they go back and they send him back, and they go with this plan with Poirier as the emergency guy. But I don't think they're going to use up all 45 days through this next month. January is a crazy month for the Celtics. After all of this time off that they just had in December, they're going to go through three straight weeks with at least one back-to-back, two straight weeks of three games in 4 days. It's going to be a hell of a grind. So maybe they do bring Taco up for a couple of those games, just to kind of lessen the impact on some of these guys that might be playing a lot of minutes. We'll just have to wait and see. For now, what we know is Robert Williams is hurt. He's got this bone edema. He's out for 3 weeks. We're going to have to wait and see what happens from there and what the Celtics plan. When we come back, Marcus Smart, eye infection in both eyes. Stick around. More on that when we come back here on Locked On Celtics.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, if you're a Spotify user, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year. Take a screenshot, tag me, RedsArmy_John on Twitter. You can tag the show, LO Celtics on Twitter, or tag Locked On Live, and we will share and retweet. Marcus Smart, still not with the team, still dealing with his own injury issues. His is an eye infection. Not only has it still lingered in one eye, it has now spread to the other eye, which makes things twice as bad. Get it? Because it's in two eyes. I don't know what the infection is, but they did say that it's something that usually lasts between 7 and 10 days, which we are at the 7 days. So it could be a few more days for Marcus Smart dealing with this eye infection. It could clear up. Who knows when? Who knows? I don't know if it's 7 to 10 days total, and now we're at 7 days for one. It's going to take another 7 for the other. I don't know. That's another thing I don't know. The Celtics have been without him. He did travel to Indiana, but he didn't play in that game. So he was well enough to travel. Apparently, he's spent the whole week just at home and dealing with this. Now the Celtics without Marcus Smart for the game in Dallas. They did recall Romeo Langford. So Romeo Langford will be with the team, maybe for depth issues. But right now, Marcus Smart out. I would expect that the Celtics go with a heavy dose of Brad Wanamaker off the bench. Obviously, Gordon Hayward's back, so your starting lineup is basically unaffected. It's the bench that's going to be affected, and the playmaking, the scoring, obviously the defense. So the Celtics are still going to be without Marcus Smart. They'll have to rely on Wanamaker. Carson Edwards is in Maine, so maybe this is an opportunity for Langford to get a few minutes, or maybe Brad Stevens gets creative with the staggering of the lineups. You just play these guys in different stints, different shifts. So two of your stars are on the floor at the same time, much more often. Maybe you just bump up their minutes a little bit. Right now, Tremont Waters is still with Maine, so he's not going to be part of the issue, not part of the answer. Carson Edwards not going to be part of the answer. They'll just have to roll with Wanamaker. And Gordon Hayward's going to be the most important guy here. And this will be an opportunity for Brad to bump up his minutes a little bit and get him going. He just missed a month, so he'll kind of dive right back in and be one of the primary playmakers. So without Smart around, you roll with Hayward out there, and you sub out Hayward first with Tatum, like Brad's been doing, and you start your second unit, the second quarter, with Wanamaker, Hayward, and Tatum. This way you got at least a couple of ball handlers out there along with your scorer, and your bench big. Maybe you go with Cantor and Ojeleye, or Cantor and Grant Williams, or some combination like that. That's basically how the Celtics are going to have to make up for the loss of Marcus Smart. Now, the Mavericks don't have Luka Doncic, but they just beat the Bucks without him, so beware of the Mavericks. The next game after that, a home game against Detroit, then a home game against Charlotte, then a couple days off before Christmas. So the next week, if it goes another 7 days for Marcus Smart, he could miss three more games. And luckily, the Celtics should be able to get past Dallas, even with however Dallas is keeping things together. They should be able to get past Detroit. They should be able to get past Charlotte. Toronto on Christmas Day in Toronto. If that's when Marcus Smart comes back, I'm fine with it because, we've been talking about Marcus Smart's nagging injuries. Let's just take this for the silver lining that it is and say that Marcus Smart gets to rest for 2 weeks and all of those nagging injuries get better. Actually, yeah, it'd be a little bit more than 2 weeks. So he doesn't have to go through whatever is going on with his fingers, great. Sprained fingers get better in a couple of weeks. The hip thing maybe gets better. And while his eye infections are working their way through, then all the other stuff gets healthier. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with it. And it sucks that they lost to Indy. They could have used him. Sucks that they lost to Philly. They definitely could have used him there. If they can whip off three wins in a row, they're still in good position. So we'll just hope for the best there. Marcus Smart is really the most unique player on the Celtics right now. The guy that the Celtics really can't afford to lose. I'd say most. They most can't afford to lose. Does that make sense? Did I say that right? So hopefully he comes back soon before the real, real hard part of the schedule kicks in, because they do play Toronto twice in a matter of 3-4 days. Luckily, there's a Cleveland game in the middle of that, but that's going to be the beginning of a very tough schedule. When we come back, a lot more crap about Kyrie Irving, and this is because Jaylen Brown gave an interview and people don't like what he had to say. And I guess I'll just go on a rant for 5 minutes when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/lockedonNBA at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Jaylen Brown started a thing because he gave an interview to Heavy.com and spoke to Brandon, quote, Scoop B. Robinson. Okay. And so he, again, brought up the Kyrie thing because you can't talk to anybody now without talking about the Kyrie thing. So first step here is the Kyrie thing has been done to damn death. All right. Just because you haven't asked Jaylen Brown about Kyrie yet doesn't mean that he hasn't been asked a million times about Kyrie. Like, you're not being original when you're saying something about Kyrie Irving. And this is one of my gripes about the media. My contemporaries here in the media, my fellow journalists, my fellow interviewers, okay? Know when the story is done. The story's been done. Just because you yourself haven't gotten a chance to ask about Kyrie Irving doesn't mean you've got to when you talk to this guy. It's done, okay? It's like, what else are they going to say? And so Jaylen Brown, basically, in my opinion, I didn't hear it, I'm reading it, says the same thing that's been said. So I'm going to read his quote. Quote, everybody's going to have their own opinion. I don't think Kyrie cares too much. Maybe he does, and maybe he shouldn't care as much as he does. He's Kyrie Irving at the end of the day. Nobody's perfect. Kyrie got a lot of blame and was undeserving. It wasn't his fault that certain guys couldn't take a step back. It wasn't his fault. That was the front office and the coach's fault. He gets a lot of that blame because he was the star, but a lot of that should be on the organization and the coaching staff. It's in the past. Kyrie is in a better place in Brooklyn. Somewhere his roots are, he'll be fine. Now, people are losing their shit because Jaylen Brown said it's the front office's fault and it's the coach's fault, which is, we just talked about how Danny Ainge went before the Celtics played Brooklyn, and he said, it's my fault. Danny Ainge said, it's my fault. Okay? Brad Stevens, at the end of last season, at the beginning of this season, multiple times, has said that it was his fault, that he needed to do a better job. Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens have come out on multiple occasions and taken blame. Jaylen Brown is basically saying the same thing. But because Jaylen Brown, a player, comes off and says it's the coaching staff and the front office's fault, just like the front office and the coach have been saying, it suddenly becomes Jaylen Brown is blaming the coaches and the front office. Listen to everything that they've been saying all this time. They're saying it. It's like, yeah, it's my fault. Oh, yeah, it's my fault. Oh, yeah, it's their fault. Well, what do you mean it's their fault? Well, they said it was their fault. They've said it over and over again. But now people are going to come out and be like, oh, whoa, players shouldn't be saying that. Why? Why? They said it. I don't get it. I don't get why it's going to be a topic. And the reason I'm making this a topic is because I know other people are going to make it a topic, and I want to just nip this in the bud because it shouldn't be a topic. And people are going to be like, whoa, should Jaylen Brown have said that? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's done. It's over. It's in the past. Kyrie is gone. The real story may be told somewhere down the line, but the Boston Celtics don't want any of the blame to be put on Kyrie Irving. The Boston Celtics want this Kyrie Irving thing to die, want it to go away. They are never, ever, ever going to put the blame on Kyrie Irving because they want star free agents to come to Boston, and they do not want to be the organization that blames players for things going wrong. They want to be the organization that says, you know what, my bad. We're going to look at this. We're going to look at how we did this, and we're going to take our responsibility, and we're going to move forward. It's not his fault. It's our fault, okay? It's not you. It's me. It doesn't matter if it really is you. They're not going to say it. They're never going to say it. Not while Danny Ainge is in power, not while he's running the show, not while Brad Stevens is coaching, not while any of these guys on this team are playing. That's not going to be the case. They're not going to say it because in a year or two years, when Giannis Antetokounmpo is looking at places where he might want to go play and the Celtics maybe create enough cap space for him to want to play, he's not going to sit there and see stories that say Celtics point fingers at Kyrie Irving because he's a superstar player. And whether he knows the intricacies of everything that happened in that locker room, he doesn't want to be the guy that looks at that and says, oh, the Boston Celtics are the type of team that blames their star when things go wrong. It doesn't matter what the hell the real story is. The Boston Celtics want the blame to be put publicly on Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge. Okay, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, maybe someday on some anniversary or something, we'll get a real story if anybody cares by then. And the way things going, people may care by then. But right now, this is the company line. And that's it. So Jaylen Brown said what he said. Yeah, because that's what they want him to say. Even if they didn't tell him to say that, it's pretty obvious that that's what they want him to say. So that's it. That's the only thing that should come out of that. So I'm sick of hearing the Kyrie thing. Like, I seriously am. I'm sick of it. I'm sure the players are sick of it. Most of you might be sick of it too. So enough. I've had enough of this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it enough to subscribe if you are a new listener. Hope you've enjoyed it. All you regular listeners, thanks for sticking around after one off day. We're normally here for you Monday through Friday for a free daily podcast. So give us that 5-star rating, give a good review, and share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.